Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Every shot our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Look, will you do yourself a favor right now? That is, after listening to tonight's Jack Armstrong adventure, it's just about surefire to let you in on a barrel full of pleasure. How's about it? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask Mother to be sure and buy a couple of packages of Wheaties right away. Got that? Then, every morning for the next four mornings, and that'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings, remind Mother to serve you a breakfast of champions. After you've eaten this extra satisfying combination of Wheaties, milk, or cream and fruit for four mornings in a row, I'd like to have you ask yourself if you've ever found any other breakfast dish that gave you as much real pleasure and satisfaction as this breakfast of champions. And say, I'm willing to go on record that you will agree with me there just isn't any other breakfast dish on the market that can touch this championship combination for flavor. You see, in a breakfast of champions, you get the combined flavors of three great foods: whole wheat, milk, and your favorite fruit. When you add the flavor of the fruit you like best to the extra good malty flavor of Wheaties, well, you've got a taste combination that's so doggone good it just can't be described. So if you're a good sport, and if you'd like to enjoy the best tasting breakfast dish I know, be sure to put in your bid for a breakfast of champions the next four mornings in a row. Ask Mother to get you some Wheaties right away. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Hello, fellows and girls. Here we are, all set to accompany Jack Armstrong, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim on a thrilling trip across the Pacific. We're glad you're with us for this exciting series. And right now, Jack and his companions are embarking on a journey of high adventure, and we know that you'll want to listen every day. The schooner Spindrift is sailing out of San Francisco Bay for the Sulu Sea, far on the other side of the Pacific. With Jack, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim aboard, she's slipping through the bay toward the Golden Gate, with its mighty suspension bridge stretching above. Ahead of her lies the Pacific, and the search for a sunken yacht with its vital cargo of uranium-235, the element that may hold the secret to unlock the limitless power contained in the atom. But things are happening aboard the Spindrift. While Billy has the wheel with Betty beside him, Jack and Uncle Jim are going below to search out a hidden stowaway Betty discovered in the main cabin. Listen.
I looked in here before, Uncle Jim, but I didn't see a soul.
But at that time, you didn't really expect to find anyone, did you, Jack?
Well, no. I thought that Betty was just a little nervous and was imagining things.
She wasn't imagining things this time, Jack. You can depend on that.
She certainly must have seen something.
Be careful now. If anyone's here and tries to take us by surprise...
I'll be careful. Look, there's no one here.
Doesn't seem that way, does it? But Betty's fright was certainly real.
Wait a minute. Look, Uncle Jim, look under that port bunk. Is that an old shoe turn on end? Or is that...
We'll soon find out. I'll give it a twist.
Oh, there. Split my main breaker. It don't take you for a landlord.
Well, what do you know? Does that sound familiar?
Why, it's Blackbeard.
Blackbeard. I'll twist his foot again and make sure.
Oh, lay off that twice and let an old car come up for air. Rip my royal, but that's a fine way to treat an old friend.
Up you come, Blackbeard. Oh, rigging and all.
Uncle Jim, did you ever see Blackbeard look so foolish?
He should look foolish, pulling a landlubber trick like this.
Well, Blackbeard, what's your story this time?
Well, it's a long and a sad story this time, Jack. Trim the sheets if it ain't. A story of double cross and misplaced faith.
You'd better make it short, Blackbeard. We're going to turn you over to the Harbor Patrol before we clear the Golden Gate.
Oh, now, Captain Jim, sir, you wouldn't do that to an old shipmate.
And I'll help him, Blackbeard. See if I won't.
Well, now, cross must stays, but you're all mighty suspicious. Both of you. Why, I have got some information that's worth a pirate's treasure to you. That I have.
You ought to know something. You're in head over heels with this gang that's trying to cross us up.
No, Captain Fairfield, that's where you're wrong. I'll admit I was in with them, but there's a limit, Captain Jim, sir, to what even Blackbeard Flint can swallow.
It must be some limit, Blackbeard. Well, come up on deck, where I can spot the first patrol boat, and we'll hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Captain Fairfield. And when you listen to an old salt spin a sad yarn, you'll find mercy in the bottom of your heart. Up we go.
You go first, Jack, then Blackbeard. I'll bring up the rear.
Okay, Uncle Jim. Hi, Betty. We found your stowaway.
Blackbeard. thought it was you.
Why, Split McKeel's from Miss Betty, it was you who gave me away. And there's Billy, a-holding the wheel like a true son of the salt.
Well, I'll be doggone, Blackbeard, of all people.
Hey, at your service, Billy. Tis a fine feeling to have a rolling deck under me again. But watch your sheets there, Billy. You're spilling a little wind from your sails. Trim in.
Never mind the sailing lessons, Blackbeard. I see a patrol boat on our lee, and you haven't much time.
Better make it good, Blackbeard. It'll be a long time before you have a chance to spin us another yarn.
Cross my stays, Jack. You shouldn't be so quick at disbelieving. Now, I admit, when you and I crossed back at Hudson, I was in with bad company. They sent me there on a little matter of a chart or something, and maybe to see if you'd gotten a wee package from abroad.
Oh, so you know about the ring, too.
Quiet, Billy. We'll let Blackbeard do the talking.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Billy. They told me everything, and that's why I'm here, to spill the truth to my old friends.
You better get to it, Blackbeard. That patrol boat is closing in.
Now, listen, Jack, my lad, and you'll hear a tale that'll make your blood curdle. You and your Uncle Jim are up against a cruel and desperate collection of half-breeds who'll stop at nothing. Nothing, my lad, nothing. The skipper of this gang of cutthroats hangs out in Manila, but he's got his men everywhere. Everywhere. Why, he can turn his little finger and they'll be doing handsprings for him in San Francisco or Timbuktu.
We'll scratch Timbuktu off our list then, Blackbeard.
It won't do you no good, Jack. No matter where you are, he'll have his crew a-shadowing you and ready to pounce whenever he gives the word.
They didn't have much luck pouncing in San Francisco, Blackbeard.
Billy, you're a little too smart for him there. But they know you better now. And Billy, my lad, if you'll port your helm a wee bit, we'll sort of edge away from that patrol boat. Well, as I was a-saying, you're up against a crew the likes of which you've never seen. They know a lot, they do. They know that Professor Loring's yacht went down somewhere in the Sulu Sea.
And they'd like to know where, wouldn't they, Blackbeard?
They'll stop at nothing to find out where the yacht lies, Miss Betty. And they know... listen now, Captain Fairfield. They know that you've got a wee bit of chart that tells where she's a-lying in Davy Jones' locker.
Patrol boat's getting close, Blackbeard.
Douse my glims if she ain't Captain Fairfield, but when I'm through, you'll maybe change your tag.
What else do they know, Blackbeard?
They know you've got a certain ring. Why, Jack, my lad, they even know you had that ring sent to the small post office before you picked it up. And they want that ring just as bad as they want that little chart.
Anything else, Blackbeard?
Why, Colonel McComber's Captain Fairfield. Ain't that enough?
You haven't told us why you had this sudden change of heart, nor why you stowed away.
Shriveled my shrouds, so I haven't. Billy, my lad, it fair breaks my heart to see you mishandle such a trim schooner that way. Now, if you'll trim in that mainsail, just...
Don't mind him, Billy. He's just stalling for time while he thinks up a good answer.
Now, there, Miss Betty, you always had a kind word for me before this. It is a sad blow to an old tar when you turn again, mate.
Since Blackbeard doesn't want to talk anymore, Jack, you'd better hoist that signal flag to call in the patrol boat.
Why, trip my top and lift. Of course I'll talk, Captain Fairfield. And you was asking...
I was asking why you had this sudden change of heart and why you stowed away. You've had enough time to think up a bully answer.
If I seem slow in answering, Captain Fairfield, it's cause the matter fair rings my heart. Captain Fairfield, you wouldn't believe it, but I've been double-crossed.
You? Double-crossed?
Double-crossed, Jack. I didn't know that people could have such black hearts. Why, Jack, that gang is lower than a sunken schooner.
It must have been a new experience for you, Blackbeard. Tell us how they double-crossed you.
Captain Fairfield, I'll be honest with you, frank and honest. They sent me to Hudson to do them a small favor, and they says, Blackbeard, you may be able to do it or you may not. But whether you do it or not, we'll buy your ticket back to Manila.
A small favor? Do you call trying to steal that chart from us a small favor?
Not steal it, Miss Betty. And how was I to know the little chart meant so much to you? How was I to know you were starting on this trip to the Sulu Sea?
Of course, you couldn't even guess that Uncle Jim would be interested, could you, Blackbeard? You couldn't even guess that he might want to carry on Professor Loring's work.
And you couldn't possibly know, could you, Blackbeard, how important this uranium-235 is to our country?
Why, bust my ballasts. How was I to know such a thing?
Go on, Blackbeard.
Well, as I was a-saying, Captain Fairfield, this unscrupulous heathen crowd, blast their bilges, they was to give me a ticket back to Manila and maybe pay me a little, just a little, for my trouble. But they didn't. You wouldn't believe it, Captain Fairfield, but they didn't.
You seem to have gotten from Hudson to San Francisco pretty quick.
Why, sure I did, Jack. They paid my way there and on an airliner, too. But when I got to Frisco, they said, Blackbeard, before you return to Manila, we've got another small job for you.
That job was to sink our ship, I suppose.
Well, not exactly that, Jack.
So I says, no. Me do a thing like that to my old friends now that I know they need that shark? No, not Blackbeard.
And when you wouldn't try and rob us again, I suppose they fired you.
Why, Riddle, my rudder, you took the words right out of my mouth, Captain Fairfield.
That patrol boat's bearing in, Blackbeard. You'll just about have time to tell us why you stowed away.
Why, Jack, my lad, why else should I stow away except to get back to Manila again?
Uncle Jim, shall I run the signal flag aloft for the patrol boat?
Wait a minute, Jack. Now that Blackbeard's through, I have a few questions to ask you.
Well, ask me anything, Captain Fairfield. Anything you want. And jump my jib if I don't answer them frank and honest.
Who's the head of this gang in Manila?
Well, now, that's a wee bit hard to say. He didn't exactly...
Out with it, Blackbeard, quick.
Well, since you insist, Dr. Chapato.
Dr. Chapato?
Well, leastwise, that's what they called him.
What nationality is he?
Well, he's got a bit of everything in him.
Who's the chap who broke into the ship?
They call him Lazaro.
Well, what on earth did he want, Blackbeard?
Bloom, bowsprit, Billy, I don't know.
Now answer this one quickly, Blackbeard. What do you know about the ring?
What's that?
The ring. The ring that Dr. Chapato is so keen on getting. What's the secret of it?
Captain Fairfield, you've got me there. Honest, you've got me there.
I wonder. All right, Blackbeard. Make yourself useful and run up that foresail.
Aye, Captain Fairfield.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I'll have her up for you in a jiffy.
Uncle Jim, you aren't taking him along.
Yes, I am, Jack.
But you don't believe him. After all, he hasn't told us a thing we didn't know before, except about Dr. Chapato.
I know, Jack, but I have a hunch there's a lot more he will tell us if he's not careful. We let him think that we believe him, and we watch him like hawks.
Gosh, but we'd better, Uncle Jim. He's after that chart and ring.
Of course he is. We'll dump him off at Honolulu. But in the meantime, we've got to discover the secret of the ring. And maybe Blackbeard will throw us on the right track.
Say, imagine crossing the Pacific with Blackbeard on board. But maybe Uncle Jim knows what he's doing. He's got to find out the secret of that ring. Anyway, you can bet there's going to be lots of excitement on board before the Spindrift gets to Honolulu. So listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow to the mystery of the remarkable ring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Want a mighty swell idea? Okay, here it is. Tomorrow afternoon, when you get home from school, hike out into the kitchen and lay hands on that big orange and blue package of Wheaties. Pour a man-sized helping into a bowl, and then get set to enjoy one of the finest flavored afternoon lunches I've ever heard about. It's my bet you'll make a beeline for that pantry shelf every afternoon once you've discovered just how good those whole wheat flakes taste when school's out. And say, if the supply of Wheaties is a little low, better remind Mother to get a package or two from the grocers right away.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions.